is 11:10, and this is Midday Live. We're here till 1 o'clock. I'm Sandy Butweiler, producing. And with me this morning, of course, Nateel Falk in Master Control. On 970 WDAY, we will, this first half hour, continue this conversation on the Trump administration's connections to Russia. Should there be an immediate investigation? There are those who think it is not a big deal. It is time to move on. But again, if another country influenced our elections, wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to know? And if there was some, you know, backdoor dealing and talking and conversation and about our election, about sanctions, for example, was very odd after the President Obama had created those sanctions, sent back some Russian diplomats. And then Vladimir Putin, very uncharacteristically, came back with, you know, we're not going to send any Americans back, and reacted in a way that was very unlike him. Normally, he would have responded in a much more combative way. So that is one of the things that we can talk about this hour here on 970 WDAY. Been working on a couple of interviews this morning. Unfortunately, Kevin Cramer is not available to talk to me today, unfortunately. I'm hoping that we can connect with him sometime soon to talk about this very thing. As you probably know, that there are those on the other side of the aisle, for example, Elizabeth Warren, who is demanding an immediate inquiry into the Trump-Russia ties. So let's talk. 293-9000-888-970-9329 or talk at WDAY.com. If there is a reason that you believe that there should not be an immediate investigation into the ties with Russia, the Trump ties, convince me, if you would, why indeed there should not be an immediate inquiry into the Trump-Russia ties. There's been a fairly good timeline that has been reported by many media outlets about calls to Russian diplomats and calls, of course, by Michael Flynn, the then national security advisor. In fact, as we know now, that from the leak of those conversations and the fact that they existed, and that is sort of turned this upside down, that the administration is saying that that's the concern we should have, are the leaks that have occurred through this. So convince me why there should not be an immediate inquiry, an immediate bipartisan inquiry. And, you know, let me just say this, the whole thing with Kellyanne Conway and the Nordstrom things and pitching the Ivanka Trump clothes on Fox News, you know, let that go. It's a waste of time. It was probably not something that she should have done. Was certainly probably not something she should have done, but let's throw that out. Okay, let's just let that, because that's just a nuisance is the way I see it. Nateel Falk, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sandy.
How do you see this? Immediate investigation, immediate inquiry to begin?
Oh, I believe there should be some sort of investigation, absolutely. Just letting it go doesn't seem like the correct path forward at all. It doesn't help instill any confidence in the executive branch for all of the people who are against Trump. And it doesn't do any good to those that are supporting Trump if they have to be defending this massive gaffe without any sort of real information to go on.
Right. So that is how we'll start the hour. 293-9000-888-970-9329. A couple of emails into the studio. Let's see. A couple were left for Mike. Janet writes, never
Donald Trump never takes responsibility. It's everyone else's fault. Doubled standard, too, when it comes to Trump versus Hillary. So should there be an inquiry into Russia following this resignation? Does this give you confidence in the Trump administration and in the transparency of this administration when we are hearing from Republicans, especially? In fact, we've got a little bit of tape that Nateel will play for us in just a moment, a few seconds from a Republican member of the House and the man in charge, the Republican from Utah, who says, you know, it's time to move on. There's nothing to see here. This is no big deal. And we need to move forward. And I think that what Mike McFeely said is very, very important. And that is here we are not even a month into this administration and we've got a scandal. Convince me this is not a scandal. Convince me that this is something that we should move on from, or we should really investigate the leaks as opposed to the full account of this administration's dealing with Russia. And John is first. Good morning, John. I'm looking forward to our conversation. So convince me why we should not have a full account of this administration's dealing with Russia.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to convince you on that. I'm, you know.
No, I'm open. I'm open, John.
No, I'm going to tell you, to me, a neutral third-party investigation into all this is probably more than called for. But you said it yourself last week, Sandy, and I wanted to call in, but I took you to task via email. You know, again, let's focus on the country as a whole. Let's focus on the real issues that are out there, the real problems, the disasters, the things that really do affect us more so day-to-day versus this constant bipartisan bickering that's going on.
I don't disagree with you, John. I think you're right. I think what we have is we have administration after administration that tries to undo the work that was done by the previous administration. And I think that there are people who are dealing with issues like their health insurance, for example, that they might not be able to afford. Maybe you're a middle-aged guy who hasn't found work for a while. You know, there's the economy
that's what I'm getting at. You know, when you talk about administration, Sandy, let's get to the whole root of the cause, more so than the administrations. Let's hold our congressional representatives to task once and for all. I am so tired of, you know, and again, you know me, I'm a conservative, but I have very little respect for Kevin Cramer anymore, because anything that I view as a conservative view that really needs to be addressed, he whiffles and washes and he's and haws back and forth, and just like the rest of them in Congress, they don't want to react to anything and deal with anything and move this country forward.
Right.
Instead, they would rather concentrate on what the other party's doing wrong and fight tooth and nail. And we went through this because, again, you know, let's get back to the Supreme Court nomination, okay? When they flat out refused to even talk to the guy. You know, that was just wrong. Talk to him, okay? If you've all got your minds made up that you're not going to go ahead and approve him, that's one thing. But at least go through the motions to at least try.
Right. You know, and there isn't anything that you said, John, that I really disagree with. But I think,
we get along, Sandy.
I know. I'm just waiting for you to take me shooting. That's all. But
I keep offering
let's
that.
Make a date.
Grant. All you got to do is take it.
I'm ready.
Have my number, dear.
I'm ready when you are, because I need a lot of direction when it comes to shooting. But let me just ask you this: do you think that if another country influenced our election, which at this point we don't really know that that's happened in this kind of form before, and you have someone who is in charge of oversight, Chairman Jason Chavez, who said that his panel, the House Oversight Committee, will not investigate the events that led to Flynn's resignation.
I'll disagree with that, because again, we need to get to the bottom of it.
We
clear
do.
The air once
yes,
and
we do.
Forward on it.
We do indeed, and we can
because
agree.
A lot
on
of these things with Trump, you know, and the Russian thing, Sandy, you can't tell me, you know, when I voted for Donald Trump, that I didn't know that we were going to have some changes in policy as far as dealing
certainly
with Russia more openness, and I'm not against that by any stretch of the imagination, because frankly, we're going backwards compared to the power that we were in opposition to how Russia was, you know, 25 years ago.
Right.
I think we need to all get back where we're a couple of countries that need to be feared and respected at the same time, and learn to break down the rest of the barriers as we go.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your call and your contribution this morning to the conversation. When did at White House know that Flynn lied? What other contacts with Russia occurred during the campaign? Who knew what? Who approved what? I think Americans have the right to know. And I think the House Oversight Committee chairman is wrong when he says that his panel will not investigate the events that led to a national security advisor's resignation before he was on the job for a month. Emails into the studio, phone calls welcome at 293-9000, 888-970-9329. Do we move on or do we begin an immediate investigation into this administration's ties with Russia? Your calls, your emails when we come back. ...970 WDAY. This weekend is the celebration of women in their music. It is the 18th annual celebration. It is an annual event showcasing some of our area's most talented female musicians. It's coming up Saturday, February 21st. Or excuse me. No. That is the wrong date. It is coming up this Saturday. Excuse me. I'm looking at an old press release. How in the heck did I get this one from 2014? Yeah, today is Saturday is the 18th, and so that will be held this Saturday, and Deb Jenkins will have all the details. It's also the Derby for Vets weekend Saturday at the Fargo VFW. We'll be there. We hope that you will join us, and Dan Jacobson will join us coming up a little later with details, and Brittany Goodman, too. And also this weekend, we'll have details on, in just a few minutes, the Elzegel Shrine Wild Game Feed. This is a big deal. This is a big event, and I've got a couple of tickets to give away, and I will give those away before Friday, or before Saturday, I should say. The event is Saturday. It starts at 5, and I've got a couple pair of tickets that, you know, are worth like $50. So stay tuned for those tickets, for that ticket giveaway coming up. 1127, email into the studio asking you, convince me why we should not investigate what appears now to be not just communication between the National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, but also others within the Trump presidential campaign. These records, intercepted calls, are showing that for the last year of the campaign, that Donald Trump associates had repeated contacts with senior Russian intelligence officials in the year before the election. That report in the New York Times yesterday, their sources for current and former U.S. officials. So there's also that to consider. And Bob, we'll get to you in just a moment. Email into the studio, I voted for Trump, but yes, I believe there should be an investigation. But I believe getting all of the information out in the open is important. He said, please don't read this as a witch hunt. Good morning, Bob. You're on 970 WDAY. Immediate bipartisan investigation into the Trump administration's Russian ties.
You know, I just feel like the whole election thing is still going on, that people are trying to tell us that Donald Trump is a bad guy. And, Betsy DeVos was getting 1.5 million calls a day, and it doesn't matter.
Say that again, Donald Trump's
a bad guy. It doesn't matter. If they want to do something, why don't they do something about voting? They're dismantling voting rights to make sure Donald stays in office forever. You know, the Republican Party is dismantling all the voting rights right now.
Okay.
That's something I could see hearings on. This stuff, Donald Trump's a bad guy. Really? He likes to grab women, you know where?
Yeah.
Really? But it doesn't matter to these people.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate your time. Charlie, good morning. You're on 970. Should the... go ahead.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Charlie.
I think before we take on the Russian government, we had to clear up the little problem we have in West Fargo with the police chief.
Oh, that's just really a difficult thing, isn't it, Charlie?
Aren't you glad you don't work at a place or for people that can't handle a little criticism?
Well, you know, I think that everybody takes confrontation and criticism differently. And, you know, in this case, you know, it's difficult for me to really comment other than the fact that I always had my relationship with the police chief was always a good one. He was always available and open, and I never, but I didn't work for him either. So what happened between those people? Were they too sensitive to it or obvious? And the other thing is 30 years with the police force, the problem that I have is that he had such a long tenure without a lot of trouble. And why all of a sudden all of this erupted at once and he's out of a job, that's a little disconcerting to me,
well,
Charlie. So,
you know, if they're talking about sending our legislative people to be able to handle different cultures, I think we ought to send our county or city commissioners to a some sort of a discussion.
Well, not a bad...
I mean, I've had people work for me, and life is not fair sometimes.
That's right. Someone...
In fact, I even had a guy sue me.
Well, did he win or lose?
Yeah, first...
Oh! I'm sorry, Charlie. Oh, gal darn it. I just hit the wrong button. Gal dang it, Charlie. Sorry about that. Appreciate your call, though. 11:31. Eric Johnson with news. Details on the big game feed going on this weekend at the Alzagel Shrine. And more of your calls and emails. Should there be an immediate bipartisan investigation into Donald Trump's ties with Russia? Not just with Michael Flynn, but throughout the last year of the campaign. The controversy isn't going to go away anytime soon, and we'll be back. The devil inside, every single one of us, the devil inside. WDAY emails coming into the studio on our question this hour. An immediate investigation, should it begin into the ties with this Trump administration and the Russians? Especially in light of the New York Times story that now and say that the Trump campaign had been communicating with the Russians for at least the last year of the campaign. We will get back to that coming up in just a moment. But let's welcome to Midday Live Roger Ellsworth. He is the first ceremonial master with the Alzagel Shrine. And he's here with details on the big wild game feed this weekend. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much. And nice to have you here. This is a big deal. How many years now has this been going on at Alzagel?
I believe it's been 14 years. I'm not certain of that, give or take it 1 year. I've been involved at the Shrine for 5 years. And I've been involved in it for the last, well, this year more so than ever, but for the last 3 years.
Excellent. It comes from the Easy Outdoors Unlimited, and it is the wild game feed. It's scheduled for Saturday at 5. Describe it for us, if you would.
Well, we've got quite an arrangement of wild game this time. We're going to be serving food from 5 to 8. We've got all kinds of raffles. There'll be three guns raffled off with the ticket, with the $25 admission. And then we've got four more guns to raffle off and several other prizes for everybody. There's prizes for ladies that will be involved and all kinds of good things. The The tickets are still on sale. We've still got we've still got a few left.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to purchase at the temple. And our office is open every day until 5 o'clock. Some of the food we've got is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Our potentate shot a mountain goat in British Columbia, and that's one of the menu items. We're stuffing some mushrooms with wild mountain goat, and everything right down to smoked salmon. We've got probably 24 items on our menu. Been looking forward to it.
Is this going to be downstairs where you guys have the kitchen all set up?
It'll be up and down. We're going to have a full temple event. We're expecting about 500 people, and for us to do that, it'll be on both floors, food up and down, bars going on up and down, and the raffles going on upstairs and down.
500 people, that's a fair amount, Roger.
Yeah, that's what we're shooting for, and the ticket sales are leaning towards that, so it's going to be a great event.
Excellent. I've got a couple that I'm going to give away here probably tomorrow or Friday for the event on Saturday. They're $25 in advance and $30 at the door. So are you only selling a certain amount of tickets, or will you be selling as many as anybody wants to?
Oh no, we've got three guns involved in that ticket, and we're limiting it to 500 tickets.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So that'll give the ticket owners, so to speak, the better chance at winning one of those three guns.
Sure,
and
of
those,
course.
Those drawings are going to be throughout the night, 6:30, 8:30, and 9:30. But we will be having other raffles. We've got four more guns. We've got a Yeti cooler full of booze and beer, and a couple items for the ladies. We've got a wine rack full of wine and a Fitbit, several other items for the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So the raffles will keep on going. The bottom line is we're raising funds for the temple and for the Shrine Hospital.
Right. So tell us how the money will be used, a charitable donation to the temple operations. What does that mean, Roger?
This event primarily is for keeping us up and running, for us to be able to participate in the events, the parades, the keeping our lights on, basically, in the temple itself. That promotes all of the units and clubs in the shrine to be able to go out and raise funds for the hospital and in turn take care of the kids.
Excellent. That really is your main focus, isn't it, is the Shriners Hospital?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Well, good work. When are you going to bring those wonderful hamburgers back on Saturday, Roger? Remember those? Well, were you around when they were doing that?
Oh, yeah, the Saturday burgers are still running.
They are?
Oh, yeah. Every Saturday, it's probably three Saturdays each month. This Saturday, of course, we'll be preparing for the wild game feed, so we aren't able to do burgers.
Mm-hmm.
But next month, I'm not certain of the dates, but I'm pretty sure every Saturday of March is open for burgers.
Oh, well, good. That's good. Where have I been? that's good to know. And one other thing, Roger, where does all the wild game come from?
Members throughout the temple and friends and relatives of Shriners. If I could just list them quick.
Certainly.
I'm sure I'm gonna forget some, but I've got wild boar from Texas. I've got that mountain goat that Ringo shot. A couple of us shot a few deer, so we've got enough venison. One of our nobles has been pickling northern.
Ooh.
It's been caught by several of the nobles and friends. There's elk, there's bear, there's goose. We took a little trip out to western North Dakota, and we shot about 35 pheasants. It's actually coming from all over the United States and Canada.
Excellent. It is the Elzegel Shrine Wild Game Feed at the Elzegel Shrine at 1429 3rd Street, North Fargo. Tickets $25 in advance, $30 at the door. The event is Saturday from 5 until 10. The food will be served until 8 p.m., and you need not be present to win the grand prize drawings throughout the night. What a fun night ahead for you guys at the Elzegel Shrine. Roger Ellsworth, first ceremonial master with Elzegel. Thank you so much, Roger, and have a great time Saturday. Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you at the next Burger Saturday, too.
That sounds terrific. Thank you so much.
You bet. Time 11:49. Few emails to get to about an investigation into senior Russian officials in touch with Donald Trump aides, in frequent contact with Donald Trump aides during the campaign. Of course, Michael Flynn has resigned before even being on the job a month with his ties with Russia. And so far, the GOP has said that they will not investigate. Should that change? Should there be an immediate investigation, or should it begin soon, immediately? 11:50. Your emails, your calls are welcome at 293-9000 or 888-970-9329. WDAY. Spend a little bit more time here while we have it on question of the day is, should there be an immediate investigation into the relationship between the Trump administration, Trump officials as well throughout the campaign over the last year? Don writes, hi, Sandy, as far as whether or not to investigate the Mike Flynn White House Russian situation, absolutely. With the already questionable credibility of this administration, this is a no-brainer. Statements from Jason Chaffetz concerning the issue with his position of oversight are stunning and despicable. Let's go with an immediate bipartisan investigation. We certainly know where this would be headed had Hillary won the presidency. That is, on top of already trying to jail her. And let's not forget, it was Michael Flynn, National Security Advisor, who spoke at the Republican convention, who spoke loudly and clearly and over and over and over again that Hillary should be jailed. And just to give you some reference of what this Republican House member Chaffetz had to say about an investigation, let's hear it. Nat, you have that cut ready?
Some Republicans are more reluctant.
And that seems to have resolved itself with the White House taking some decisive action.
Congressman Jason Chaffetz, the chair of the House Oversight Committee, vigorously led the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails, but says he has no plans to investigate Flynn's ties to Russia.
Kyle writes, again, remember the New York Times had reported that Carter Page, an oil industry financial analyst, had a meeting with Igor Sekin, the Rosenfeld Oil Company president in Moscow in July 2016. Carter Page has been interviewed by the FBI about his trip to Moscow in July 2016, where he made a speech at a Moscow economic school and where he met with Igor Sekin. Carter Page had close ties with the Trump campaign as a former advisor, and he is part of Russian President Vladimir Putin's inner ruling circle. Yes, we need an immediate, major, bipartisan, independent commission to investigate this scandal. Did Carter Page talk about lifting those Obama-Russian sanctions so the $500 billion ExxonMobil oil drilling deal can proceed in the future? Another email into the studio, as far as Russian influence. Without it, no one would have known until it was too late what the DNC pulled to bury Bernie Sanders and anoint Hillary at all costs, which led to Debbie Wasserman Schultz going down in flames. And if the Republicans pulled the same crack crap, I would still be okay with it. What I found funny is the Bernie supporters who went like lemmings over a cliff just to vote for tainted, corrupt Hillary instead of standing up on outrage. What does that say about society? Thank you, John, for the email into the studio. There is another sidebar story to this, and that is that there are members of the White House staff now who are turning to a secret chat app for private messages. That is not ethical. It is certainly not the way an administration and White House staffers are told to communicate. They are to communicate via email and via their White House email. So that's something to think about, too, and talk more about. Details on Derby for the Vets coming up after the news. Just like way back in the days of old. By 12:09 on a Wednesday. Thank you very much for joining us tomorrow at this time. John Lamb in studio. Talk about what's going on this weekend, and there is plenty of it, including the celebration of women in their music, that wild game feed at the El Zagel Shrine. And here at 970 WDAY, we are pumped because it is Derby for the Vets weekend. It will be held on Saturday. It is the 5th annual Pinewood Derby for adults at the VFW. And the director, I guess we could call you the founder, the man in
charge. Just call me Derby Dan.
Derby Dan. Dan Jacobson. Hello.
Good to be here, Sandy.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for that framed poster.
Oh, yeah.
That will go right on my wall in a proud spot, and very happy that... because I saw Jay had one.
Right. Yeah, so I couldn't leave you out of the mix.
No, you couldn't. No, thank you.
No way.
Brittany Goodman is also joining us. She teaches over at MSU, so she's on the phone with us today. She is in charge of marketing. And Brittany, good afternoon to you.
It's nice to hear from you, Sandy.
It's great to talk to you as well. We're only a few days away from the Derby for the Vets. And so you just hang in there for just a minute, because I want you to talk about Kim Jory, the battle of the auction, and a little bit more about the opening ceremonies. But if you would, Daniel, talk first and foremost about how this event is really a community event, and you have a few partners that work closely with you on it.
You know, we've been really blessed to be in such a fine part of the country and be able to support our number one VA in the whole country. Fargo here. It's terrific. The community has done wonderful to support this. They get behind it. It's a fun event for everybody that comes down there, everywhere. It doesn't matter where you're at, upstairs or the bottom, the lower level. Doesn't matter, because it's all on the video screens everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can hear just fine. You can be a part of the action. This year, we're going to have an extra microphone roaming around upstairs, too. So, it's going to be fun. So, you won't be left out of the action, that's for sure.
Talk about some of the partners and sponsors with you.
Well, you know, PetroServe USA Corporate has got involved with us in a big way this year, along with Dakota Supply Group. They, you know, they've been with us for quite a few years now. North Country Marketing always has been great. Kilbourne Group got involved this year, seeing how this is a great downtown thing. And they're building a car, too, for the Brand Challenge.
Excellent.
Sanford Health, Fargo Jet Center, Border States Paving, Dakota Monument makes those wonderful granite awards. Those are, I've got a lot of awards over my lifetime, and these are really cool. I would like to have one of those. Urban Toad did a great job for us this year. United Auto Tech, Spider and Company, can't say enough about him. He's been fabulous to work with, and and help us with all our marketing. Of course, the VFW in Fargo and all the other clubs, too, they've been good support. Metzaluna, Auto Systems, the beer companies, D&S Beverage and Bergseth Brothers, Rivers End, Kim, she's talk about kicking down every year. She's been terrific. H&B Sound and Lights, Rustica, WDAY, of course, and Bergstrom Iron Laser.
Excellent. Yes. Of course. So great sponsors. And if you've ever planned a fundraiser, and I've chaired a few over the years, believe me, when you have those sponsors that never blink an eye, you really hardly have to ask them. You know that they're going to be there. You know that you're going to get the support from us here at 970 and yeah. all of those other great sponsors. You need those sponsors.
Yep.
This is not a one or two man show, is it, Daniel?
This has been 5 years in the building, and it's been terrific. You know, it's been fun to do because there's so much by doing it, how much it makes me feel good, and doing my part in the community is what I do it for.
Right. And the veterans, I can't think of anything better to work for in our community.
You know, this year we're going to raise
our veterans.
We should raise over $20,000 on Saturday afternoon.
Talk
That's
about how the money will be spent this year.
We're going to keep with, I was just up at the VA hospital before I came in here. And we're going to keep going with the roller recliner chairs because with their new addition there, they need a lot more everything. And those chairs are just, so one person, this lady that was staying with her dad, said if I wouldn't have had one of those roller recliner chairs, that would have been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
He said she got to stay right alongside the bed and sleep overnight and all that. And it's terrific. So we want to keep supporting that or whatever the VA needs. To do with the money. So, but right now that's where we're going with the roller recliner chairs.
And the thing is, working with the DAV and the auxiliary, we donate a lot to the VA, and because these are the things that might not be available to them.
Yeah.
And these are the special, the rolling rocking chairs, for example. Those are big, they're expensive.
Yep.
I was at the Mayo Clinic with my brother for more than a couple of weeks, and we had one. We didn't have one right away, but when we got one finally, let me tell you something.
It's a life-changing deal.
That'll change your stay in a hospital in a real quick minute. And so the VA, they need fundraisers like this too.
Yeah, otherwise they wouldn't have it.
Right, exactly. Yep. I remember once, this was maybe more than 10 years ago now, we raised money to put cable in the rooms of veterans.
Right.
That's just one of those spiffs, I guess, for lack of a better word, to use. That, those special treats that we can give those veterans that they might not be able to get ordinarily.
Right.
So it's so, so important. All right, so we know how the money is going to be spent. Describe the event for us. It's an adult derby, and if you've never been to one, how does it work?
It works like this. You have a Pinewood Derby car. Either you've built one or you have one in your arsenal at home from something you built for your children before, or you just had it since you were a child. 11 o'clock is when we get going with all the sign-in, weigh the cars, tech the cars, do all that, make sure that they're legal, and then they're pretty much quarantined so you can enjoy a derby dog and a cup of the Stuart Peterson's world famous chili.
Yeah. Are there going to be grilled cheese sandwiches this year?
No grilled cheese this
grilled
year.
Cheese.
We're doing
okay.
Derby dogs and chili this year.
Excellent.
So, and that's all done by the auxiliary. They're going to be mounting that deal up and helping sell all that.
Excellent.
That'll be fun.
We should mention that the VFW Auxiliary, they are a very hardworking group of women.
And
so they'll be providing the food this year.
Yep.
Okay, very good.
And then the opening ceremonies is at 1 o'clock. That's always one of the funnest parts of the day because it kind of sets the mood for the whole event. Just like if you were going to a big time NASCAR race or anything like that. Kind of the same thing, same kind of race where we have the chaplain, we have the color guard, we have a singer do the national anthem, we have the Blue Angels come over and fly over. We do it all.
The Blue Angels are going to fly over?
Well, They're gonna. You'll see it right on the TV. So it's got to be true, right?
I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you do have some pull.
Yeah, we really got them going on this year. So, you know, you got to be downtown to VFW to see that, though.
All right, so let's do this. Let's come back after this break and talk about some of the other logistics. And Brittany, I want to bring her in on the conversation as well. Talk about that opening ceremony, which if you see anything on Saturday, be there for the opening ceremony because it is memorable. Everyone has been memorable for me, and the VFW hats off to them and other veteran services groups who also
the Grand Marshal too. He gets involved.
Oh yeah. Oh good. So will
he's
you reveal
make a speech?
Will you reveal who the Grand Marshal is?
Pressure's on.
Okay. Daniel Jacobson is in our studios. Brittany Goodman, the marketing director, works. And let me just say this too. These guys volunteer their time. That's all volunteer. And thank you for your hard work. And thank you too, Brittany. We'll bring you in the conversation when we come back on 970 WDAY. It's 12:18. It is the Derby for the Vets. Join us this Saturday downtown at the Fargo VF. WDAY, 1222, Sandy Buttweiler, Nateel Falk, Eric Johnson is in the newsroom. A couple stories he's working on today. North Dakota law enforcement agencies cited or arrested more than 100 people for alcohol or drug violations during a crackdown for impaired driving over the holidays. And he'll have more on that coming up at 1230 here on 970. We are talking about a big event. It is the Pinewood Derby for Adults, the Derby for the Vets. It is here. It is Saturday, the 18th. Opening ceremonies begin at 1 o'clock. And in our studios to tell us more about the logistics of the day and is Daniel Jacobson, the director. Marketing director is Brittany Goodman. And Brittany, again, thank you for being here. We'll get to a few other things that are planned for the opening ceremonies. But who is the Grand Marshal this year, Daniel?
Jay Thomas.
Jay who?
Jay Thomas.
Jay Thomas, you mean from the Jay Thomas Show?
Yeah.
You mean the award-winning, rated number one in the afternoon drive?
That's the one.
I know. What are his duties?
You got to be like a grand marshal, walk around, say a lot of stuff, and shake hands with everybody, and, you know, give autographs, you know, whatever. that's going to happen.
Sure.
Yeah. He's going to do fine. I think we're trying to make it a little more fun this year, and Jay's been a great supporter of the event, so have you, Sandy. And, we just want to, do something a little different. You know, we've had, some of the great veterans of our country that have been past Grand Marshals. We thought, well, let's do something a little different. This is the fifth.
Great. Brittany, thank you so much for being so patient. If you would talk a little bit more about the opening ceremonies, there's a special, tell us about Tanya Weeks, who will be singing this year.
Sure. Well, Tanya Weeks, we're very lucky to have her. She's an award-winning singer. She's local here in Fargo, very talented, and she's going to open up that opening ceremony with, I'm sure, a very moving national anthem. Then we do have a chaplain. We have lots of different things that happen during the opening ceremony. Very moving. Want to get there a little bit early because the opening ceremony starts at 1, and it's always standing room only.
It is indeed. All right, tell us now a bit about the silent auction, because there's that we have that every year too. And so what might we see on the silent auction this year, Britt?
Yeah, well, I'm super excited about the silent auction. We've been working on that for a couple of months. It runs throughout the day, and it closes out as the races close out. And some fun items we have this year, some really great clothing from Zorba's and Lagunitas Beer. And Dan, he's probably going to bid on that because that's his favorite beer.
What is it?
Something.
Lagunitas.
Okay, Lagunitas.
Yeah. Lagunitas.
Lagunitas.
Okay.
And we have wonderful high-value gift certificates. A lot of them are $50 and over from places like Mezzaluna, Rustica, The Boiler Room, Vinyl Taco, Specs, The Empire, Diener's Diner, and more.
Excellent. Tell us more about the Battle of the Brands, if you would.
The Battle of the Brands, that's going to be more for Dan, I think.
Oh, okay. Hold on,
Brie. You know, the Battle of the Brands is just so much fun because it's getting your brand out there, even if it's your brand, your name, or your store, like the Kilbourn Group, like USG or DSG, and many, many other businesses. We had like 25 last year, and I think we're over 50 this year in that category alone. Team Knotty Wood, you know, this is an adult Pinewood Derby, so you can kind of say and do what you want a little bit. They have 6 cars going this year, and they've thrown down the gauntlet like you wouldn't believe. And besides that they want to win, they're confident they're going to win. And they've gone out and got over 50 donations that Brittany hasn't even seen yet. So,
they're
going to be a big flood of them coming in.
I wanted to mention, too, that we have both North Country Marketing, which is Stu Peterson, and also Vix Aircraft. They are putting up on the auction block 4 different one-hour plane rides, which that'll go over great. That's exciting. I've never been on a small plane.
There's also, well, pray, bring a rosary. The Mayor's Challenge. Explain that one. And it looks like Delray Williams is going to be in the house on
Saturday.
She's
going to be in the house once again. And
she hasn't been feeling well. We've been all wishing her well, and
she's coming around.
Looks like she'll be able to be there.
She's going
to
be in good shape.
Excellent.
That's going to be terrific. It's going to be such a challenge this year because every city that I've talked to says we can't let West Fargo win again. So that's going to be a big challenge.
It is.
They've got a really good car, so everybody's up in their game. I like that. You know, you get that competition thing going. It's really fun, you know, and it's the pride of the city. It's pride of doing something really wonderful for our veterans.
Excellent. And, of course, we cannot let you two go. Brittany, maybe you can talk more about what Kim Jory contributes to this day, because it's terrific, really.
Well, I have to admit, I'm a little biased because she's one of my best friends, but she is a local artist. And she donates her time all day long to create a painting live. So you're watching her do this painting. And it incorporates elements of the day. It's a unique experience. Every time she creates something, it's something different. It's always beautiful. And then we do a live auction at the end. And we hope to raise a lot of money for the VA hospital with this live auction.
Excellent. I know a couple of years ago, I think the Rosine family bought it. And if I'm not mistaken, and this goes for hundreds and hundreds of dollars every year. It is incredible painting.
Right, right.
It could be thousands this year.
It could be thousands.
Last year went for $1,600. So.
Last year it went for $1,600?
Yeah, right.
No way.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
So
very
maybe
good.
We'll get 2,000 out of it this year. Who knows?
Well, to watch her create this piece of work is really fun, too. So there you go. That is. Did we miss anything, Dan? Or?
You know, we really got it, I think.
Britt, did we miss anything here?
I think we covered the major bases here.
I can't thank you both enough for what you do for the veterans, what you do for this event, and thank you for including us. We're very proud to be a part of it. And Jay Thomas this year will be your Grand Marshal. That's pretty exciting. And he's going to make a speech, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's going to be part of the opening ceremony. So that ought to be worth coming for alone.
Don't be late for Jay's speech. And Brittany, thank you so much for what you do for the veterans, what you do for the Derby for the Vets, and all of your precious time that you donate. Daniel Jacobson, you know I love you, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. And, I got to thank the community, too, because they're the ones that really make this happen. We just put all the pieces together to make it work.
And if people want to join, just stop down at the VF and pick up a kit.
Oh, yeah.
Or bring a car, get registered, start registering at...
get the thing... at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Excellent.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you both. We'll see you Saturday.
Yep. Downtown. We'll see you Saturday.
At the Fargo VFW for the Derby for the Vets.
Thank you so much.
Here on 970 WDAY.
What's Happening in Plains Art is sponsored by the Hotel Donaldson. For lunch, dinner, drinks on the rooftop, Sunday brunch, your next meeting, and a great overnight getaway. Come to the Hotel Donaldson, a work of art in the heart of downtown Fargo since 2003.
970 WDAY, it is always a pleasure. Look forward to this segment every couple of weeks here on 970. Joining us is the executive director and the CEO of the Plains Art Museum, and that is Andrew Mouse. Hey, Andy.
Hello, Sandy.
It's good to see you.
It's always good to be here.
Did you have a good Valentine's Day?
You know, I had a rather uneventful Valentine's Day and a heart-shaped pizza.
Ah, excellent. Uh-huh. When you have kids, though, it's usually, you know,
it's what
you
we do.
Bring them some chocolate.
And oh, yes.
Have a little fun, and then when you have kids, it's sort of all around them, isn't it?
Everything, right?
Right, exactly. Well, let's talk about some new exhibits. I'm very interested in the new contemporary Native American artist exhibitions, and tell us about those, if you would.
Sure. So we actually have recently opened two new exhibitions, two major exhibitions, that is. One of them is called Indian Country. And that features the work of David Bradley, who is now based out of Santa Fe, New Mexico, but he's from Minnesota, actually, originally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think his work is the kind of work that virtually everyone can get something from that they'll enjoy, whether it's people trying to figure out his stories. He tells these sort of like somewhat surreal, somewhat like very, very creative storyteller, I think is how I would summarize his work. Very literal, but just enough mystery there for you to spend some time with. I think you could spend 3 hours in that gallery and not see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we are combining his work, actually. So he's exhibiting on the second floor of the museum. And then on the third floor, we have a Wisconsin-based artist named Truman Lowe, who has been described as being the preeminent Native sculptor of his generation. And so he's never exhibited here in Fargo before, which is when looking at the history, I was kind of surprised by, because he's so prolific, so important, and represented by museums across the United States, collected mm-hmm. internationally, and is also just, as we found out last week, a wonderful speaker and just a really great person. And so his work is the exact opposite of David Bradley's, in that it's very poetic, it's very symbolic, and it's inspired by water. So he uses wood and other materials to make sculptures that are really relating to his appreciation and his interaction with water and nature.
I'm looking at images from both of these artists, and it's very true. They couldn't be more different, but they are so interesting. Truman Lowe is, wow, that is some really, you know, you can look at one of his pieces of work and, you know, I always appreciate a piece of art that you can look at and never kind of get bored with and try to understand for many years.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's what his seems to be.
Yeah, absolutely. They're so much more meaningful the more you interact with them. And that, right. I would say that about both. I'd say that about David Bradley and Truman Lowe. We just are so very fortunate to be able to have these exhibitions here in Fargo. And you're absolutely right. It's the kind of work where you can return to again and again. And it'll just become more fulfilling.
It will. I'm looking at David Bradley, and I'm sure I'm on the right page.
That is him.
That
yes.
is David Bradley. Wow. Yeah. That is colorful. and interesting. And again, you can stare at a painting of his for years and years and find something new and different and not get bored with it. And
yeah,
that's what I love about art.
You'll never be able to see everything in that show. And he has a knack for relating his work to very complex ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's definitely some ideas in there that are hard to talk about. But he's done work that is more historically focused. Like, for example, there's a piece relating to the largest mass killing in U.S. history, mm-hmm. which happened in Mankato, Minnesota. But it's not overt. An artist describing something that is terrible. It's mm-hmm. much more creative than that. There are issues of acculturation in that exhibition that he handles also with equal grace and creativity. And mm-hmm. so there's some just, without too many spoilers, it's hard to talk about art on the radio.
But it is. I know.
But you can walk through there and you'll see what he's doing. It's his interaction with the world in a very kind of, it's not overtly political, and it's not overt social commentary always. There's some of that in there,
mm-hmm.
but I think for the most part, it's just really meaningful and creative.
A little bit of an Andy Warhol.
Yeah, there's some Andy Warhol. There's actually an Andy Warhol piece or a piece that was very much made inspired by Andy Warhol.
Certainly.
In that show.
Yes, yeah. I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact. And what is his obsession with Lando Lake's Butter or Bitter? Well, I guess you'll
Land
find
Lakes,
out.
Yeah. It there's definitely, one other topic being the capitalization of Native culture. I think, people make money off of these very important cultural icons.
Right,
that
exactly.
are much more meaningful to Native Americans and are, mm-hmm. Unfortunately being capitalized.
All right, let's move on. We've got a couple of other things to talk about. Current conversations. Tell us about the water lectures coming up.
Yeah, so I talked about Truman Lowe. Truman Lowe's work is all about his, it's a very reverent kind of exhibition, very much reverence for nature and water. We're doing a lecture series, actually, that is called Currents, Conversations on Water. And it basically looks at the various ways that indigenous people here in the U.S. Relate to water. And so there's definitely a cross-cultural dialogue that that we feel important that it takes place. And it's starting actually this week. Holy cow, it's starting is tomorrow Thursday?
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Thursday, February 16th, 6 to 7 p.m., we have Michael Yellowbird. And then we have another lecture coming up on April 4th and another one on June 15th. Michael Yellowbird, the title of his talk is Decolonizing Water. And in April, we have Nancy Devine, Poetry, Wood, and Water. And then on June 15th, we have Wren Walker Robbins, exploring the intersections of science, spirit, and water.
Excellent. Now, I'm not sure if I found the Megan Mitchell ceramic images. I'm not sure if I have. I'll have you look at it. But that is a ceramic artist that's coming to Plains Art?
Correct. Yeah. So we do have artists in residence at the museum quite frequently, but we're starting a new artist in residence program that is very specifically for ceramic artists. And so we're definitely a place that embraces innovation within that traditional art form, meaning ceramicists, potters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're inviting Megan Mitchell, who is now a Twin Cities-based artist who teaches at Minneapolis Community and Technical College, as well mm-hmm. as the Northern Clay Center.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's a master at creating, using very traditional ceramic techniques, but also imprinting images over the top and using different glazes to create imagery within that art form.
Yeah, it is, talk about interesting. She'll be very interesting.
She's going to be good. So
she's
going to be here. She's going to be doing an artist talk next month, actually, on Thursday, March 9th.
Excellent.
6 p.m. And we'll be doing an exhibition of her work as well as we kick off these ceramic artists in residence.
Wonderful. Andy Moss is the executive director and the CEO of the Plains Art Museum. If you want to find out more, just go to plainsart.org. It's a great website, and you can see what is coming to the Plains Art Museum and plan accordingly. Mm-hmm. And this, What's New in Plains Art, brought to you by the Hotel Donaldson. And we thank them for their sponsorship, and we thank you, too, for bringing this good work to town and coming in today. Good to see you, as always.
Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. And we'll be back.
What's Happening in Plains Art is sponsored by the Hotel Donaldson. For lunch, dinner, drinks on the rooftop, Sunday brunch, your next meeting, and a great overnight getaway, come to the Hotel Donaldson, a work of art in the heart of downtown Fargo since 2003.
Entertained and enjoy the talents of local women, then you want to be a part of a celebration of women in their music. It was founded in 1998 by Deb Jenkins. It's coming this weekend. As a matter of fact, the celebration actually begins tomorrow at the Hotel Donaldson with pre-shows. This event has really grown in the years since Deb Jenkins founded this incredible night. She is a renowned blues singer, chef, and caterer, and my friend, too. Hey, Deb, good afternoon.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you.
It's good to talk to you. And a celebration of women and their music is just, pre-shows begin tomorrow. If you would give our listeners just a little bit of history and when you founded it, why you decided to put this event together and how it's changed over the years.
Sure. So I started it, as you said, 1998. And it started because I started meeting these wonderful women that were in the area of Fargo through a restaurant that I was managing. And I myself couldn't believe that these women were here and I didn't know about them. I'm speaking of Nita Velo, Sarah Moreau, and Connie Hill. And I got this idea of giving back to the community because at the time I was working at the restaurant, I was also going through chemo because I had breast cancer, so I left my nursing job to try some other things. And the community was just so gracious. They support everything I do, whether it was nursing, music, food, and I wanted to give back. And I also wanted to show my daughter not to give up. As a woman, you can do anything. Mm-hmm. There's many different roles you can have. So I spoke with Margie Bailey on the phone, and I knew who she was. Did not personally know her, but her response, immediate response was, get over here. Let's talk about it. And I was like, okay. So she and I sat down and talked about the vision I had. And by the time I left her office, the vision had already started to grow because although I looked at it as a time to get women together and have voice, I also thought we need to do a little bit more. And giving back to the community meant giving to the community. So I thought giving money to young high school senior females in the arts would be a great idea for the purpose of this show. And that has grown immensely.
It has.
And it started out with just the theater and then a post show. And then people wanted to give me money to give as an award to the young women. And also venues wanted to get involved. And it's just grown. It's grown every year. There's one more venue or either one or two more people that would like to support the show in some way. So we're all really blessed in this community because everybody gives back just immensely.
Excellent. None of the artists involved get paid. That's something important to note, too. It is a nonprofit, not-for-profit event. And if you would, just give us a little overview in a quick minute of the pre-shows and everything culminates on Saturday night.
Right, and I do want to just clarify in case someone's going, wait a minute, I know that so-and-so's getting paid. We at Celebration of Women and Their Music do not pay the artists. We give them a very, very small stipend, which mm-hmm. we've just started being able to do. Otherwise, the artists do get monies from people that give us money to sponsor them
right.
and or these venues outside of the Celebration that have them play. So they get money that way, which is nice for them to come and do this. So tomorrow night, we start with the Hodo with a Pat Linners band. He has done this 3 years now this year, and he supports us by any of the women in the show or past shows that want to come up and just have a voice with him. That band is letting us do that. And then on Friday, this is the busiest night, but you can make it to every single event. Go out to dinner so it doesn't seem like you're starting late.
Mm-hmm.
And join us at the Listening Room at 7 for Izzy Marcil is opening for Claudia Schmidt, who was in the show the third year of this event, by the way. And
excellent.
Then at the Hodo is Hannah Christensen with her band from Boston. You can go to Proof and listen to some jazz with Peggy Bartunek Trio, her husband, and Mike Corbone. And then at the Side Street, Izzy Marcil's band from Boston, another band,
excellent.
Is open for my band, the Deb Jenkins Band. And then, of course, we have a beautiful VIP party on Saturday at the Loretta Building in Elevate. It's just awesome.
Excellent.
You can get VIP tickets for that, and I'll tell you where to get tickets.
Okay.
And then the theater, doors open at 4:30. The show starts at 6. You can buy tickets at the theater if you wait till the last minute to buy tickets. And you can also buy tickets for the VIP party if that's what you want to do on Saturday. But you can get tickets right now at 300 North Broadway, downtown by
excellent.
Herbert and Gerbert in the Arch. No, it's Sandy's Donuts, I think. And then you can go online if you like.
Okay.
To tickets300.com.
Wonderful. Deb Jenkins, founder, Celebration of Women and Their Music. It all begins tomorrow, culminates on Saturday night at the Fargo Theater. Thank you so much, Deb. Have a great weekend and a great turnout.
Oh, thank you, Sandy.